Now, we're gathered this morning to remember God's goodness to us in the harvest. Who can just remind me what harvest is? Can anyone tell me what harvest is? Does nobody know what harvest is? Jonathan, sit down. Who can tell me what harvest is? Right, let me ask you another question. This might be a bit easier. See if you can ask the easier question first. We'll come back to the first question in a moment. Who can tell me what colour it is? Hi. Golden. Well, yes, that's what I had in mind. Right, so Jonathan, what is harvest? It's... No, well, not really, no. Emlyn had his hand up. Does Emlyn know? You have to shout very loudly. No? Lloyd. When they collect the crops in. What are crops? Bag. Things like wheat. Got some wheat up here. So if I get peckish, I could eat some of that. It's the crops, it's the food. It's what grows in the fields. I know those of you that have driven out to Oswald Street, you've noticed all that corn on the cob has been harvested in the last week. Isn't there anymore? The field's all suddenly gone flat again. And there's all the harvest of the fruit from the trees, the apples that have been collected, and the pears, and the plums. In some parts of the country, the grapes. Yum, yum. I had some grapes last week. They were delicious. So we're remembering God's goodness to us in providing us with the harvest, giving us the food that we need. What would happen if we didn't have any food? What would happen if we didn't have any food? Sam, what would happen if we didn't have any food? We'd starve to death. Yes, we'd all die. Some parts of the world, sometimes, they have a famine. You know what a famine is? Bag? There's no food. Can you imagine getting up this morning and going to the cupboard to have your breakfast? Or perhaps you go and sit at the table to have your breakfast. Not many people have their breakfast in the cupboard. But you go to have your breakfast, and there's no breakfast. There's no porridge. Put your hand down, Jonathan. I'm not asking a question at the moment. There's no porridge, no bacon, no eggs, no bread, no cornflakes, no rice pops, no Wheatos, no shredded wheat. Nothing. Nothing to eat. Oh well, I'll wait until dinner time. And dinner time comes and you sit down at the table to eat your food, and on your plate, Jonathan, there's nothing. Nothing at all. You starve. Now you could drink some water and that would keep you going, but you'd feel ever so hungry. And the next day, well, you could drink some more water. And the next day, well, you could drink some more water. Assuming there was water, of course. But eventually, after about 2 months, 2 and a bit months at the very most, you'd die. Because you hadn't had any food. Now, if there wasn't any water as well, then you'd die after a few days. You have to have some water. You can survive without food for a long time. So when you say to your mother, I'm starving, I've got to have something to eat. Well, it's not quite true. You haven't got to have something to eat because you probably ate yesterday and the day before and the day before that. So you could go for at least a week without eating anything. It might not be very nice. You might feel funny. But you could survive. So what we do at harvest is we thank God that we don't have to starve and we don't have to go without food because God has provided us with the rain that we need. Who likes rain? Emily likes rain. Well, I'm glad some people like rain. Because if we don't have any rain, we'll starve. Quickly, Jonathan. We don't have any rain, we'll starve because the crops won't grow. If they don't grow, there's no harvest, we can't eat. But then, who likes the sun? Oh, I can see some people don't like the sun or the rain. But without the sun, the crops won't grow either. The way God has made the world, we need the rain and the sun for the crops to grow. We also need the rain to provide the water for us to drink. Where does water come from? Who knows where water comes from? Jonathan, where does water come from? It comes from the rain. It goes onto the ground, ends up in rivers and in reservoirs, goes through treatment works, and then it comes out of the tap. So rain is very important. And we need to be thankful to God for the rain. Paul was talking to a group of men, and they were trying to worship him. They thought he was a god, and he said, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of the same nature as you and preached to you. You should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who in past generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways, but he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." It's because of God that we have food and things to drink. So we should be thankful to God at harvest, not just that he has provided us with food, but he's provided us with the rain and the sun. We should remember also that God made a promise about the harvest, about the seasons, after the flood. Who knows about the flood? Who knows about Noah and the flood? So you know that the whole world was covered with water. Everybody died except those who were with Noah in the ark. And after the flood, God said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease." God has promised there will always be a harvest. There might be some parts of the world where they don't have one, but somewhere in the world there will always be a harvest. And God later on, in the next chapter, said to Noah that he was making a covenant. And that was a special covenant in which God promised never again to flood the earth. Has God ever flooded the earth since the time of the great flood? No, he hasn't. There have been local floods, little floods here and there, but he's never completely flooded the earth as he did before. And he said, "Here is my covenant, and here is the sign of the covenant, the rainbow. Every time you see a rainbow, you should remember that God made a promise never again to flood the earth." You should be very thankful, being reminded of what God has promised. But we're talking about harvest and things that the harvest reminds us of. It reminds us that everything comes from God. Now we think we go and open up the fridge and there it is. If we think hard, we might think, well, perhaps my mum actually went to the supermarket and bought that. But then that's making us think that all food comes from supermarkets. Well, it doesn't. If you sit outside a supermarket, you will see great big lorries arriving, full of food. And they come off the lorries and into the supermarket. So then you'll think that all food comes from great big lorries, with Sainsbury's or Tesco's or Summerfield or whatever on the side. Well, of course it doesn't. Where has the lorry come from? Well, that's come from a distribution depot probably about 100 miles away. So does that mean that all food comes from distribution depots? Who thinks all food comes from distribution depots? Good. It doesn't. Because if you go to these distribution depots, you see all these lorries going out from it, but you see others coming in, bringing different things. They come from other places, and you can follow these all the way back until you end up at a farm. And then you say, ah, all food comes from farms. Well, yes, but how does the farmer grow it? Well, he takes his seed, he puts it in the ground, and then what does he do? Well, he might try pulling out some weeds, he might put some fertilizer on, he might put some weed killer on. But apart from that, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't go round with a pump and pump it up so that the crops come up. It grows. And it grows because of God sending the rain and the sun. It's because of God. And God does all these things for us. It's not because of anything that we do. It's because of what God does. Do you think that God is good to us? Because you should. We receive all things from God. There are some people who think that therefore, in return, we should do things for God, and then God will be pleased with us. But how do we make God pleased with us? Can we give something to God that he hasn't got? What can we give to God that God hasn't got? Anybody got any ideas? Any suggestions? What is there that we could give to God that God doesn't have? Jonathan? No, you're not sure. Pag? Well, that's a possibility. We could give God our love. Does God need it? Does God need our love? Is this a question? Is this an answer to my question, Jonathan? Does God need our love? Does he? Oh dear. But what did God do before we were born? If that is true. If it's not true, God doesn't need our love. Before the world was made, you can put your hand down now, before the world was made, we didn't exist. Was God incomplete? Well, no, he wasn't. God was perfect. God is perfect. God doesn't need us. God doesn't need our love. Doesn't mean he doesn't want it. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need us at all. We need him. Because without God, we'd all be dead. Do we deserve, right? Let's look at the other way around now. Do we deserve anything from God? And if so, what do we deserve from God? Jonathan. No. No, we don't. Peg? No, we don't deserve that either. Jonathan? No. There's only one thing we deserve. We deserve to be punished. Because we've all been bad, haven't we? I wonder if you dare to admit this morning, in front of everybody, that you've been bad. Hands up if you've been bad. I'll allow that the older ones have got weak arms and can't manage it. We've all been bad, haven't we? Every one of us. We've all been bad. So what we deserve, hands down now, what we deserve is God's punishment. That's what we deserve. And yet, in spite of the fact that's what we deserve, God sends the sun and the rain. Now, some people think, well, look, God's given us so many things. God's given us all this food. And you can go to some parts of the country and people specialize in growing marrows. This is a marrow. I don't know if you've ever eaten one. They're quite nice. You cook them, cut them in, chop them up, and hollow out the middle, and you put some minced beef in the middle and cook it. It's delicious. And in some parts of the country, that would be considered a tiddler. And you can get marrows that are about that big. But some people probably say that's small. You can get enormous ones. And some people think that because God is so good in giving us food like this, therefore God must be pleased with us. And therefore they carry on being bad. God's not going to punish me. Look at the food I've got. I don't need to worry. I might be bad, but God's pleased with me, isn't he? Look at what he's given to me. But the Bible says, Jesus said, that God sends his rain upon the just and the unjust, upon the good and the bad. So just because we receive lots of good things from God does not mean that God will not punish us. We have this parable that Jesus spoke about, the wheat and the tares. Who knows what wheat is? Hands up if you know what wheat is. Right, you don't know what wheat is? This is wheat. And that's what bread is made out of. Not this part down here. There are seeds in here. And it's the seeds that are taken out, and that's what's made into bread and other things. Who knows what tares are? You know what tares are? Mr. Booth knows what tares are. What are tares? Weeds. The tares are weeds. And here we have a field Jesus is telling us about, where the crops are growing nicely, but in amongst the crops there are weeds. So what does the farmer do? Does he go in and pull out the weeds? Jesus says, no. Don't pull them out. Because if you pull the weeds out, you might pull the wheat out as well. We don't want that. So what we'll do, we'll leave them until the harvest. And then when we get to the harvest, then we'll separate the good crops from the weeds. Now people think because God doesn't punish us now, therefore we're okay. That isn't what Jesus says. What it says is that God is leaving the good and the bad together until the end. We are all bad. We're bad in different ways. Some are worse than others. Some people go around with knives and they kill people. Or they might use guns. Others go round and they kill people in their minds. They see someone walking down the road, they think, I hate him. Ugh. I'd love to stick a knife in him. You wouldn't really do it, but that's what you think. Some of you are thieves. Some people go and rob banks because they're greedy. They take money. Other people break into people's houses and take their property, their video recorders and their televisions and other things like that. And they search the house, turn it upside down, looking for lots of valuables. Of course, none of you have ever done that, have you? Or have you? How many of you sat in front of the television at about 8 o'clock last night with a piece of paper saying, oh no, that's the wrong number, oh that's the wrong number, that's the wrong number as well? Well, aren't you being greedy? Aren't you trying to get something for nothing instead of working for it, instead of labouring for it? What's the difference between you and people that steal? Well, only one difference. You don't actually go out and do it because you're afraid you'd get caught. Love to do it if you could. Get something for nothing. And we could go on with a whole long list of other things. We're all bad. We all deserve God's punishment. And we need to remember what Jesus said when he told us what this parable meant. He said that the field is the world, and the wheat and the tares are the people in the world. And you have the good and the bad. And at the end, God will separate the good from the bad. The bad will be punished. Now, is any one of us here good, or are we all bad? I hope you'll agree with me that we're all bad. So how are we going to become wheat and make sure that we don't remain as weeds? How do we do that? How can we please God? The only way to please God is by doing what God says. Now, that doesn't mean that we go through the Bible and it says we've got to go to church on Sundays, so I'll do that. And it says over here, we've got to pray every day, so I'll do that. And it says we should read the Bible, well, I'll do that. It says we've got to be nice to people, we'll do that as well. Well, that won't please God, because those things aren't addressed to you yet. God says to people who are bad, there's one thing that you must do. Once you've done that one thing, then you will do all the others. But first of all, you have to agree with God. You have to agree with God about what he says about you. When God says that you're really bad, you have to say, well, yes, I am. I am really bad. I have a wicked heart. I don't want to do what God says. I want to do what I want to do. God says that's wrong. You've got to stop saying that and say, no, I'm wrong. God is right. I am wicked. In my heart. Right inside. Not only must we agree with God, but we must change our minds. Instead of saying, saying we're okay and trying to justify ourselves and saying, but I'm better than so-and-so. So-and-so's bad, but I'm not as bad as they are. Well, what would it be like if we'd have said yesterday, well, we're not as bad as, let's think, I'm trying to find a neutral country. We're not as bad as Liechtenstein. They lost by 4 goals. Can you imagine the Welsh saying that? We're not as bad as they are. They lost 4-0. We only lost 3-2. You got the point. You lost. Now, I said I wasn't going to mention that, didn't I? It's not a question of how much you've lost by. You've either lost or not. It might be by 300-0 or 1-0. You've lost. It's no good saying, I'm better than they are. They're bad. Well, you're bad as well. You might not be as bad, but you're bad. So we need to acknowledge what we really are. We need to acknowledge that we deserve nothing from God, but that God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to deliver us, to save us from all the things we've done wrong. And he died on the cross in order... Howard. Oh, you are awake. Good. The Lord Jesus died on the cross in order that we might be forgiven for all the bad things we've done. When he died on the cross, he was punished for all the bad things we've done. But we need to admit that we're bad to God. And we need to come to Jesus Christ and put our trust in him and to surrender to him. And to submit our lives to him. And to say, all I've done in the past is wrong, but now I trust in you, and I surrender to you, and I will do whatever you say. Please forgive me. If you do that, God will forgive you. And then at the harvest, at the end of the age, then you will be sure that you are the wheat and not the weeds. And then the righteous, those who have trusted Jesus Christ, those who know that their sins have been forgiven, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Well, here we are at harvest. There is a harvest to come a harvest of people. Having remembered God's goodness and having given thanks to God for that goodness in providing us with food, are we going to listen to God about the harvest at the end of the age? And are we going to listen to him and come to him, admit that we are wrong, and put our trust only in Jesus Christ? The moment you do, you will be forgiven for all the things you've done wrong. And God will give you peace in your heart. He will put his spirit within you. He will adopt you into his family. And you will want to do all that God has said. Well, I hope that this harvest time will be a reminder constantly of the harvest to come, and that we might not rest until we know that we are wheat and not weeds.